Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Talk about wasted opportunities. It just is so, that ninth inning, and George hits it on the button, and it's a double play. It's Tucker in game one. It's a line drive. Yeah, it's been killing
them. The shift has
it's been destroying
the shift of Tampa. I mean, they are all over the Astros.
And the Astros invented it, and now it's coming back to bite them.
I mentioned something about the original shifters, and then somebody got all mad and said Joe Maddon was doing it first.
No.
All I know is the
Astros started.
The Astros were the first to do the mega shifts, where they were literally shifting on every hitter, not just one or two guys. And they've been killed by it. Think of all the Yuli double play in game one.
The Tucker double play.
The Tucker line out double play. George double play. I mean, everything. That their shift has been unbelievably accurate and successful.
Yeah. Speaking of, well, the opposite of that, Jose Knobloch can't throw it to first base anymore. Okay,
this is a real concern.
It is.
This is a real concern. First it was the hitting, and you think, okay, well, it's in his head, and he's hitting now, and so you know it was in his head. I mean, he's hitting now. That's the first time. That's really the second time. Last year was the first time I've seen him just mentally not be in a good place. But then he popped out of it and ended up hitting really well. This year, that's not a 162 schedule, but this year, 60 games of being in a funk, basically. But now he's hitting a ball. Yep. You know, he's hitting a ball. He's hitting home runs. He's getting hits. But the first throw, like, wow, I never see that. The second time he chunks it and short arms it, now you know it's in his head. I'm legitimately concerned moving forward in the series, because this is clearly in his head now, this basic throw. And we've seen it with Steve Sachs. We've seen it with Chuck Knobloch. We saw it with, the pitcher turned outfielder with the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Left-hander.
Rich Ankiel.
Yeah.
We've seen it with three players. We've seen, and it happened with Mackie Sasser, a catcher for the Mets, too.
Yep.
When they kind of hit it by not having him throw back to the pitcher after warm-ups, he would walk it out to the mound.
Yep.
Because they just were trying to work through it as they went and just hope nobody stole a base. Well, he could throw to the bases. He couldn't throw back to the pitcher very successfully. So, this does happen where mentally a block shoots up. You know, Altuve has shown us that mentally he does. There are some concerns now with his ability to get out of his own head mentally. And I tell you what, that is something to keep an eye on. Twice in one game is an easy, easy throw.
Easy.
And in one of them, it turns to they flipped the first one from Yuli. It was at first it was a Yuli error, and then it turned into an Altuve error. What did you think on the first one that turned into a 3-run homer?
They were both on Yuli. They were both on Altuve.
Yuli's got to come up with.
He does have to come up with it, but I mean, because you see G-Man on the other side. Holy crap!
He's snagging everything
except one throw, and which was costly for them. Well, almost costly for him, but just one throw he couldn't come up with.
Yeah.
And otherwise, you see, man, well, Yuli has turned into a good first baseman, though. But Yuli this postseason is a disaster. He did have a couple of hits and one a bloop to right field that was, you know, hey, whatever it takes.
I'll take anything
right now. Anything right now. And then he got another hit, which was nice. He got two hits yesterday, but he has been a total disaster. You know, if you're going to do that, and even, you know, when Altuve was struggling so mightily, he was making these bad throws to first base. I was like, dude, if you ain't going to hit, At least you better be able to, you better field your position. This is a gold glove second baseman.
Right.
And he has been a disaster this year in the field. And I don't, maybe it's all in his head and maybe this all, but guess what? You got years more on this deal. He better pop out of all this. He better snap out of it in a hurry, because you can't have all this money into this second baseman and him sucking this bad offensively and defensively.
Or this first baseman.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, the first baseman just got a new contract.
Right.
And all of a sudden he can't hit anymore?
Right. As soon as he gets that deal.
And he's 36. So it's not like he's a young guy.
No. No. Yeah, that doesn't bode well. What does bode well was Lance McCullers. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. You talk about now, I thought in the first inning, man, you just got to pick up your guy. You got to pick up Altuve. You know, Margot gets a hold of one, hits it to center field, it's gone. I mean, you just got to pick. And I thought, well, this is a
– Oh, I thought he was in
just. I thought he was
trouble.
Done. I thought he was
I
done.
I did, too.
I thought he was done.
I did, too. But, I mean
– Wow.
He actually ended up being the best, maybe the best version we've seen in probably 2 years, 3 years. He had 11 strikeouts, but I don't think he gave up a hit after that. He was mowing people down.
Yeah, Zunino's homer.
Struck out. Oh, and tells Zunino's homer. Yeah. I mean, from the first to the, what, seventh?
Yeah.
He struck out the side, I think, two different times. Lance McCullers has changed himself, too, because, and I know Maldonado's been a big part of this, but he was working at 97 with his fastball, which he was not working at 97 over the last couple of years. He's been more like 95. He was working in the sixth and seventh inning at 95 through 97 in the upper part of the zone. And then his sinker, I guess that's become his new pitches, which is his off-speed pitch, basically. It's not the big looping curveball. It was really more of a tight slider and then a sinker. And that power sinker down in the zone, man, he was eating up the bottom of the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Finding he kept his pitch count reasonably low. When you look at when you juxtapose Lance McCullers and Framber Valdez versus Charlie Morton and Blake Snell, it just irritates the piss out of you that you're not sitting there at 2-0.
Yep.
Because those guys are trying to hang on. You've got those guys on the ropes multiple times for five innings. They're 10 innings of work. You had them on the ropes like 7 to 8 times.
Two men on in three of the first four innings. You had runners in scoring position time after time after time. That's the story of this, is coming up with a clutch hit.
And then they have.
That's the story so far of these first two games. You got to believe that they're going to come out of it. You got to believe that they're going to
but
come
they're
up.
Hitting the ball
they're
hard.
Hitting the ball hard. Hitting the ball. But now, Tampa, this is Tampa, though. This is Tampa baseball. This is scrappy play, great defense, pitching, and scrap runs wherever you can find them. Look at this lineup. And no wonder he had 11 strikeouts. This lineup is.
That's what I was saying. I'd much rather face Tampa than.
Yeah, but guess what? This is what you get.
But Tampa's pitching is not even doing anything either. I mean, Tampa's pitching is hanging on for dear life.
Yeah.
The Yankees would have been a much tougher matchup for you because you don't get the same pressure from the Tampa lineup. You just don't. You just have to avoid the home runs.
Well, you also got to avoid that bullpen. The bullpen throws as many. The bullpen threw more innings than the starters did this year. That bullpen is Fairbanks, Thompson. Holy crap, dude!
Thompson
coming up with
stunk
nothing.
Yesterday.
Well,
they had Thompson in trouble. They had the bases loaded twice on him in one inning.
He threw Thompson. No, he threw a third of an inning and got out.
Oh, I'm not thinking Thompson.
Not Thompson. He
closer.
Comes from down here.
Their closer. Yeah.
Yeah. Anderson.
Yeah.
He was in trouble. No, Thompson's a beast, man. This whole and so is Anderson. He's a and you got to him, which was awfully nice.
That's where you got to throw. You got to throw three or four runs on him and win that game.
Yeah,
you had him struggling. George hits the rocket double play, and then you still get the bases loaded again.
That was just so crushing, man. If this thing's tied at one right now,
and every one of those hits, by the way, Tucker to the warning. No. That was the inning. That was a different inning. But every one of those hits, every out that Anderson got was hard hit. It was a Ken Giles save, basically, is what he got. He got a Giles save. Every single ball was hit hard.
No timely hitting. Alex Villanueva. LMJ did a good job after the three-run homer. Did a great job.
Pedro Martinez
said, nice pitching performances wasted due to no timely hitting. That's the truth.
Pedro Martinez said, Pedro Martinez said, no, this is your chance to jump up on him or go 1-1. Because I actually think you have the advantage. When you look at Glasnow's a problem, obviously, but unless you can catch him tipping pitches again. But, you know, you still – have they mentioned is it Urquidy today or is it Zach? It's Urquidy, right?
It's at this point in our lives.
We got
it. They still – it's Urquidy against Yarbrough.
Yeah. Okay, right. So you got Urquidy. You like that matchup.
Nope.
Then you got Greinke, and you just want him to grind.
Or you're going to throw Javier in game 4.
You could, depending on how Greinke's arm is.
I mean, you got a nice outing from Scrub. I'm telling you, I like Scrub. I don't mind Scrub coming in there. I'd much rather have Scrub than Josh.
If the Astros are getting good innings out of their starters, yeah. they're limiting their bullpen exposure.
That's right. And their bullpen has been money anyway. This bullpen has stepped up in this postseason. Now, granted, some of it was Javier and Fromber, but it
a
has
lot
really...
of it. The bullpen hasn't really been you've been able to avoid the worst of it. When the worst of it's gotten in, like Brooks Raley's going to give up hits. Josh James has been bad.
Well, Brooks Raley.
Let's face it. Your bullpen is Christian Javier, Blake Taylor, Ryan Pressly, who had a bad one. So we got to break it right now.
Jimbo
Fisher is going to be coming up next, and it'll be fun talking to him after a big win. So we'll visit with the Texas A&M Aggies head coach about that. But when we get done, we're digging deeper into the Astros, and we want you guys to stick around and do that with us because there's still a lot. And this series is not over. I actually don't feel bad about being down 0-2. I feel like you wasted a couple of really good starts, but I'm definitely not giving up. I think that the bats made me feel a little better.
Yep. So we'll talk to Jimbo on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. That's brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, but. Right now, I want to talk about Chastain Ford. I'm heading over there today, as a matter of fact. Maybe stop at Yanni's first and pick him up. They love the Greek salad over there, Allie and Tony and Patrick. And just that, because I'm going to bring back that cargo van. I'm telling you, I had the cargo van, and I can't tell you. We were moving stuff, and if you need a vehicle that is going to haul stuff and it's just perfect size, and as a matter of fact, you can park it in a small stall. I mean, it's unbelievable how efficient. If you've got any kind of delivery business or something, and you're looking for a great this vehicle is unbelievable, the cargo van. But they've got unbelievable deals on the Expeditions with $20,000 off. They've got unbelievable deals right now on the XLTs and the STXs. I mean, you're talking about starting at $28,999. On some of these vehicles. That's unbelievable. And you can do it all at home. Chastain Ford at Chastain at home. ChastainFord.com, ChastainFord.com. You don't have to go into the dealership. They'll deliver everything to you, and you can test drive it. And then if you don't like it, they'll send it back, and they'll come and pick it up. If you're looking for the best way to shop for that Ford vehicle, ChastainFord.com, or get there. Homestead, not Hempstead, on 610 Chastain Ford.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back. You know that music. Time to bring in the head coach and them fighting Aggies. Victorious this week, 41-38 over the Florida Gators. It's brought to you right now by Damaris Barbecue. If you want to watch that, those are good Aggs over there, Damaris Barbecue. We'll watch the games and have all kinds of fun right there on 18th Street and 610. Coach Jimbo Fisher with us. Coach, how are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Man, it must be – all the food must be tasting better. You were they caught you walking off the field. It was pretty emotional, that victory, wasn't it?
Well, just in terms of how the kids did it. It was the way it was done, which is a thing we talk about all the time, of persevering, keep playing the next play, all those types of things. You know, as much as it was – no matter who we would have played, we would have – I mean, Florida, it was a big game. You know, they're ranked high. But it was how it was done, in my opinion, that got me excited for the kids. Not really who we were playing as much as how it was done and the consistency and the way we kept persevering, just playing the next play in the game.
Coach, I'm a big believer in just telling the truth and not having any kind of agendas. And so when you call somebody out, you're doing it from a place of honesty and it's not anything, you know, negative. But by the same token, when somebody does something exceptionally well, you need to say that. And I'm going to tell you something. That's as good as I've seen Kellen Mond looked since he's been an Aggie. And I'm taking into account, you know, the competition, the moment, the situation. He threw with poise. He threw with consistency. He was accurate. And, you know, he got the ball out. And I thought that was as good as I've seen Kellen Mond look, certainly since you've been at A&M.
Well, you know, people talk about the biggest play of the game. I thought it was the first third and eight. If you ever go back and look at it, you'll understand. Hold on 1 second. I'm about to order me a cup of coffee. Hold on go 1 second.
Get it. You deserve it, Coach. You deserve it.
That's all right. Now, I'm going to get my morning coffee. But no, the biggest play of the game to me was the first third and eight. If you watch, they brought an exotic blitz.
We did.
Hold on. Give me a large coffee with two creams.
Anything else?
No.
I'm not.
And it was – they brought an exotic blitz. We did a great job of picking it up. If you watch how early he threw the football on a route to Jalen – Wiedemeyer on a route, and how early it came out, where it hit, and we come. And after they had just went down and scored, we come back, and if we don't hit that third down, we don't hit the next big play to Chapman. And that answering up immediately and kept matching the competition in the game was good. And he made those plays early, and then, of course, you know, we had outstanding performances across the board. I mean, you know, I thought Isaiah Spiller was awesome. I thought all of our receivers were awesome. Chap, of course, played outstanding. Our offensive line, you go back and watch it, maybe the MVP of the whole thing, and I don't mean to take any credit from anybody, was our offensive line.
Yeah, you guys started going after them in the second half where you could see that there was – Coach, what was it? Yeah, what was it about the first half where you could just tell, wait a minute, we're gashing these guys. We don't want to let off. And I know you had at 1.6 straight runs, and Spiller was catching you 4 to 5 to 7 yards every single time out. When was it that you realized, wait a minute, we got to really go after their front?
Well, we saw going in the game, we're going to have to because they were dynamic on offense. A lot of exotic blitz, they're very athletic up front, and, you know, to try to slow them down when it comes to passing situations where they couldn't, they were really good loose down players and trying to pound a little bit and also try to keep the ball away from them a little bit. You know what I mean? And then still be successful. Now, the key to it was, you knew when you start running the football, you get a lot of 3s and 4s and 5s. You have to be able to convert them, which we were outstanding on in the day. And it fell in place. And then once it started going, our guys fed off of it. And I think it really got our team in general going. And then our defense started feeding off of it and playing up front and doing some things. And, you know, unfortunately, defense got turned. Actually, defense had 2 turnovers in the second half, if you forget. People forget they took one away from us. And, you know, they started playing up front. And then, you know, it just got going. And it was a great college football game. And luckily, we were able to make one more play than they did.
Well, and, Coach, you've mentioned a few things. One I want to get to. 12 of 15 on third down is unbelievable. That's how you stay on the field. You keep them off the field. Your time of possession was almost 10 minutes more than theirs. That is, it doesn't get any bigger than 12 of 15 on third down.
Well, when it all falls in place and you're hitting the third downs and being able to run the ball, it's really good. So, I mean, those things tied together. Our receivers aligned. Kellen was doing a great job, you know, and picking up the protections and the blitzes and getting the ball out. And our receivers were seeing the routes and breaking them off or leaving them on. And I mean, you know, it was a cohesive effort. There was detail to the execution. And I say this, and I don't mean this in any disrespect. We had 460 yards the first against Alabama. We left a couple hundred on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And execution and things that I said before. It was, if you watch that game again, I go back. It was. The difference was the details of execution, in which, you know, we believed and finally got it. And then now, the key is, you got to do it again. You know, you got to have hunger, you got to have execution, you got to have urgency and a purpose to go play. And you have to do that, or if you don't, you're not going to be successful. And you know, the key is how many weeks in a row can you do it and do it the rest of the year.
Coach, so Pitts had a monster first half, and we talked about him last week. I mean, he's one of the top three players probably in college football. Monster first half, and then he got really, really quiet. I want to talk about what you did defensively or if you did anything there, and then also talk about the physicality of that game, because I thought their running backs, probably more than any other group that I've seen, they might have the most aggressive finishers at the skill position that I've seen all year.
No, they really were. They did a good job. And you know, we bracketed coverages and got Pitts doubled. And actually, what's funny, we blew 2 coverages on the touchdown. We had him bracketed, and we were outside. We had help inside, and we let him get back outside.
Yeah, cross face, yeah.
And on the third and 14, we had a guy supposedly coming inside out to double him on that slant. and we just blew a coverage. I mean, so we were, you know, we had keys to bracket him, and we did a much better, more consistent job of it the rest of the game, and not, you know, not missing the assignments on it, because we had coverages designed to take both away, and, you know, we just didn't get it done. But then the second half they did, and so we were able to do that. And then, again, they ran the football. Their backs were very physical, and they got the ball to them and some underneath and crossing routes. And then we finally, we were blowing some cover things underneath and how we cut routes that were very basic, simple thing. And then we got that ironed out a little bit better, and then we gradually played better in the football game.
Yeah. Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5. I don't. Did you see that coming with Caleb Chapman? That kind of game, he had one catch the week before, four catches. To be as dominant, to have as many big plays, were you starting to call plays for him, or did they just get on the same page and Kellen just said, I got to get it to this guy?
Chap has been coming on for a while. He played a really good first game. We didn't get the ball because the way the game went with the turnovers. He had a great camp. He was a guy 2 years ago. He was going to play about the fourth game. He was really coming on and playing. He got tangled up with a scout team guy in the middle of practice on a Wednesday that we were going to play him a ton of ball and screwed his knee up. And last year he just, you know, got back healthy but just wasn't as healthy. And this year he had a good camp. And really, see, last week at Alabama, he actually, he come off and had some fluid in his knee off a rare, he had a little joint in his knee, a little something like some kind of cyst they called that had caused fluid in his knee. He couldn't play against Alabama very much. And that's why he did in the first game. He had a good game. He had actually been practicing and doing very well. And we thought the whole time he's going to be a really good player. And we had the things to get him the ball, and he made the plays and was starting to take off. And it's a shame because he really was developing and was becoming a really big part of what we were doing and very confident in what he was doing.
That's Friendswood right there, Coach. That's our area right here. That's Friendswood.
What, speaking of injuries, what's the update on Bobby Brown? Of course, he's the guy that got maybe your best defensive lineman and hurt himself. He was celebrating sack, hurt the knee. We all saw it.
He should be good. Bobby,
is he okay? Was that just a hyperextension?
Yeah, that's, I don't know. It's a little tweak or whatever. They said he should be good again today or something. Should be good to go.
Yeah, I'm interested. How do you handle when you have the emotion of a win like that and the team is so fired up? You did have 15-yard penalties. I mean, one of the stories.
Oh,
yeah.
How
do you handle that?
Ridiculous. You're dressing. We had two on after a late throw, after they hit us, and then we're going to win. I mean, you know, go in there and save the world. We can't do that. That cost us. That would have put them back in a 3rd and 18 on one of those drives. We had offsetting penalties, and that cost us the two on the – one on the touchdown throw and one on the kickoff, and we get undisciplined. We had to start drives on the 6th and 10 because they squibbed the next one, first on the 6. Luckily, we went 94 yards. The next one, we get a 15-yard penalty on the 10. We go 90 yards and score. In a game like that, those can be catastrophic.
Yeah.
Because you're every possession, if you don't score, you're behind the 8-ball. Luckily, we were hot on offense, and you know, we addressed those things. And then, listen, guys get emotional and they do things, but you got to put your ego in your pocket. The reason you're there is to win the football game. Anything that deters from that is wrong. The discipline, your ego, taking up for something, you know, whatever it is, you have to understand that, and it's not about you. It's about our team, and anything you do that hurts it, it's not the right thing to do.
Coach, I got to tell you, so my dad calls me, you know, he watches games. I mean, he's not coaching now, so you know, I'm getting phone calls left and right. And so he's calling about the Aggie game, watching your game, and we're talking about that one and the Longhorn game. And so we're going back and forth talking about it. And he started telling me about, he said, you know, and I know you and my dad have coached together and are friends.
A lot of respect to your dad's one heck of a football coach, man, and a great guy.
I appreciate that. He said, you know, it's funny, when Jimbo first came in, he said, I didn't get along great with him at first, and then we became really, really good friends. And he said, Jimbo's one of the first guys that was running zone read stuff with the quarterback at Cincinnati, and I'm thinking, what are we doing? This isn't going to work. And he said, I give Jimbo all the credit in the world. It started working for us there, and he said, Jimbo's one of the first guys that put some of that stuff in that I had seen. Or no, was it RPO, or maybe he's talking RPOs?
We did a little bit of both. We did a little RPO with it, bubble throws, and it's some zone read.
It was RPOs. He was talking about the zone read and RPO stuff. He said that's the first time that he had seen that was with you.
We did. We had a heck of a year that year. We didn't win a lot of games, but we were a very good offensive football team. And I only had one senior on the whole offense. And that's where your dad, and we got into, because your dad and him ran the one, he's the one who really showed me how to run the one back power and the A gap and how to get it downhill.
Oh, okay.
And if that thing and got it down in there. And then we put the RPO with that, reading that in when, instead of him crashing. And, I mean, he really educated on all that stuff. And we on offense that year were a very good – the next year they went on and won like 9 games. We grew up on defense and things. But that year we were like 10th or 12th, 15th in the country in offense at Cincinnati. That year we'd beaten Wisconsin.
Right.
When they won the Rose Bowl with Ron Dane, we went up and had Ohio State 17-0 in the Big House. I'll tell you a funny story. We lost the Ohio State game that year. We scored a go-ahead with about 4 minutes to go. They had an outside linebacker named Nigel Diggs. We were running a vertical crossing route. And our X went to go underneath the route. And our T, our slot, Diggs grabs him. He can't get off the line of scrimmage. So the X just goes behind him. We throw him the ball, touchdown. They call an illegal pick. It wasn't a pick. We couldn't get off the line of scrimmage. and it cost us the game. And they beat us in a great game. But that was a great year that year. But we implemented some of those things. But we learned a lot. The one back power and all those things. It really ended up being a fun year. And we did. We became very good friends. I had a lot of respect for your dad.
John, that was 22 years ago.
The coach still remembers every. Yeah. Couldn't get off the line of scrimmage. And they called a pick on him. So, Coach, this week. Mississippi State. I would watch what Kentucky did against them as opposed to what LSU did. I don't know. To me, how do you do what you did offensively against LSU and then not do any less than nothing against Kentucky? What did Kentucky do to them?
Well, I mean, they did multiple drops, multiple things in the secondary, dropping 8 guys and rushing 7 or 8. They kept a good mix of it and what you do. And listen, Mike's a smart guy. Guys keep doing the same things to him. He's going to have a plan for it. And it's very tough. The thing that, you know, like I say, they broke a record. So, you know, they got players. They got skill guys. Their back, in my opinion, is one of the best backs in all the league. I think Hill is a tremendous player. And, you know, the other day, if I talked about him running, he had 15 catches in the Kentucky game. He had 15 catches as a running back in the Kentucky game. He's an outstanding. The receivers are big. And Michael, they'll play well. You can bank on it. The thing about them is how well they're playing on defense. They're second in the league in defense, leading the league in sacks. It's a very different defense, the way they play it and the multiplicity of things they do. They're extremely, trust me, I got a headache right now. I've done forgot about Florida a long time ago. I started watching that Mississippi State film. And they got big physical guys up front. They always do, you know that. Earl Thompson, the linebacker, is one of the most physical guys in the league. He's been a 3 or 4 year starter there. Secondary guys, I mean, this is going to be a challenge for us as a football team all the way across the board. And we better get a chip back on our shoulder because that's going to be a physical, hard, tough football game we're going into.
Well, it's going to be fun. We'll be watching, Coach. We really appreciate it. And once again, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. We'll let you go. We know you got a coach's meeting at 7:30, so go get it. Congratulations on a great win, Coach. That was great for you, for the program, for everybody involved.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right.
Please, Dad, I'll say hello, too.
I'll do that, Coach.
And once again, Damaris Barbecue, if you're looking for the best place to go and get your barbecue on. I'm telling you, every time I go there, I get the Greek salad. It's humble. I think it's the best salad in the city. I really do. You get the fajita beef on it or the fajita chicken on it. The wings are spectacular. You go there and watch the game, the one on 18th Street, right there at 610. Or they got the TVs at the Shepherd location as well, just north of West Alabama. If you're looking to get your barbecue on or you're looking to go watch a game and have a few beers, it's Damaris Barbecue. And oh, by the way, go to Damaris.com if you're looking for any kind of catering. They're unbelievable with that as well.
Let's talk about SiteJab, a chance for you to update your business. If you're all in the business right now of making money, right? If you've got a small to medium-sized business. If you have a website, your website should tell people who you are because 80% of the people who are going to do business with you end up going to your website first. It should tell you about who you are. It should show the work that you've done, and it should give people an easy way to get a hold of you or to purchase your services. That's what it should be. And understanding the best way to do that, understanding the best way to create a website that flows and that provides people with your information and your work and that allows you to convert those eyes into a business lead, that's where SiteJab comes in. They can build a website for you from scratch. It takes generally 3 to 6 weeks. And in 3 to 6 weeks, you are going to have a brand new website. Or they can also revamp a site that you already have, and they can include some e-commerce into it. So make sure that you go with the professionals. They're right here in Houston, 2 decades of work, and they do exceptional work. I love the work that they do, and I love supporting local. And it's a win-win for everyone across the board. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5.
Let me get a breakfast taco with potatoes, bacon, and cheese, eggs, and also coffee, two creams.
In 1 hour, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
The building's actually going to have some breakfast tacos.
Guys, I don't care what the building's going to have. We're trying to get on and beat Mississippi State. I don't have time to talk about your breakfast tacos. Let's get on to Mississippi State. They are a physical team. Florida's win. Great. We won it. That's great. Let's get on to Mississippi State. That's a true coach here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I already got a headache thinking about Florida. I got a headache with Mississippi State. Florida's in the background, guys. The video that I tweeted out, and was just on TV, of him being so fired up. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing he said was "bleep them Gators," I think, which is an SEC type of thing.
Well, how about Dan Mullen afterwards, pissed about how many people were in the stands?
Yeah,
what the? But the Florida governor says
they want everything packed out.
They can have a full stadium, and Dan Mullen's like, "I want a full stadium."
Yeah. Well, Florida immediately was probably pissed off they lost to the Aggies. Now, the governments in Texas and Florida, at times, I think, would make decisions based on the college football teams. I actually believe that. Yeah. I believe that Florida, their governor would say, you know what? We're at 100% capacity now because we got to get the swamp packed out because we just lost to the Aggies.
Well, yeah, he said the crowd affected what happened. Dan Mullen is, I want to have 90,000 at the swamp. The Florida administration is like, we're going to stick with our guidelines.
DeSantis said you can fill it up.
Not the state of Florida. The University of Florida said we're still going to stick with our guidelines. We're not packing the.
And
swamp.
The state's like, best pack it.
That's because they lost. If they won, they'd say, "What you want, Dan? Okay. Well, 90. How about 95?
Are you going to pack the stadium, Dan? Answer the question. We don't know if we're going to pack the stadium. Answer the question, Dan.
It depends on what Florida State does. Lance is doing a government thing there.
We don't believe that we should pack the stadium in an election year.
We think the.
Are you packing the stadium?
Let the people decide if we should pack the stadium. Yeah. In an election year, we let the people decide.
Florida State ain't packing no stadiums.
Well, that's kind of part of the joke, too.
It's really. We'll decide if Miami packs the stadium.
Well, they're not allowing anyone to pack the stadium. Well, DeSantis says, go ahead. Everyone who has a stadium goes, we're not going to do that. We're not packing our stadiums. We're still going to stick with our limited capacity. So. The governor of Florida is not getting what he wants in this one.
But the Aggies were just loud. Oh, a big, big shock. I don't know what was the attendance. Have y'all seen what the attendance was?
Some people said it was about 40.
Oh, that would go against what?
Yeah, I don't think it was that much.
No, but that's what Mullen said.
Yeah, no, I don't think. Of course, that's probably what a coach would think is like. There's 40,000 there. I don't care what they say. Let me see if I can find the actual attendance here in the box.
Well, but the actual attendance and what at the
well, actual. No, the attendance has to be. Oh, it's 24. It was 24,709. They're at 24%. Capacity is 102. 24,000 Aggies can make a lot of noise. This just in. It's the loudest place that I've personally ever been, is Kyle Field. That's the loudest place I've personally ever been. I think 24,000 can make some noise. I really do. In Florida, I don't see why they wouldn't be up to whatever their guidelines. If they tell them 30%, 40%, they'll be 100% there. They'll have as many as they should have there. The SEC is going to have the highest attendance of anybody. I don't care. It doesn't matter what other school. That conference, they're going to be more likely to put people in and even sneak people in if they need to. Of course, you got to pay.
Yeah, if you just type in Texas A&M Florida attendance, there are pictures on Twitter showing... it appears that in some parts of the stadium, particularly the upper deck, lack of social distancing. And if those particular pictures are any indication, feels like 24 is on the low end of how many people are actually there.
You think so?
Well, I'm just looking at the pictures.
Because there is...
What do they call it? The core?
Yeah. They're all jammed into one place.
They're packed in tight, and some of the upper deck looks like they're packed in tight, too. So, I mean, I could see why you might say, feels like a little bit more.
Jimbo did not say that Caleb Chapman was out for certain, right? For the season.
Did.
He said he was out for the season?
I think he said it's a real shame about it. Yeah, I think that's what he was.
I was thinking of Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown's
no, he's Bobby Brown will be back.
Yeah, it came out a couple days ago, likely out for the season with the knee injury.
Yeah, you could tell, and he grabbed the back of his knee, which is also a really bad sign.
Yep. Immediately when he got up, I thought it was like a calf. Grabbed back there. I thought, well, his calf must be bothering him or something. But
it was an awkward play. I mean, he had to come back for the ball a little bit, out jump the Florida defensive back who is. That defensive back, by the way, Milt Wilson, he's a brother of, is that guy still at the Colts?
Quincy? No.
He's a brother of Quincy Wilson.
Yeah, Quincy got mad at me because I wouldn't.
You questioned him.
Yeah. Well, I just said I thought he was a second round pick and that he might be a better safety than corner, and I liked him fine, and I was a hater.
I think
he got drafted in the second, and then he got traded.
That family's very sensitive because he.
They are.
His dad is named Chad Wilson. He's a.
He
trains people. He went to the University of Miami. And the reason Quincy didn't go to Miami is because they thought he was a safety, too. They wanted him at safety. He wanted to play corner. He started at corner in college. So I guess he won that one as far as what he should play in college. But they don't particularly like saying Quincy's a safety.
No, I guess not, because Quincy's mom went up to my dad when he was training at Exos I think it was Phoenix. I think Chad Wilson was there and the mom was there, wherever he was, and said, your son was really hard on our boy on his scouting report. He said, was he? And he said, I went and read it. He goes, you seem pretty complimentary.
Second round, Lance, why are you insulting
him? He said, you seem pretty complimentary of him, but players, I've learned that all players do is they go right to their weaknesses, and this is the only thing. And I don't like the phrase, that's what they use. Weaknesses isn't a good.
No.
For some guys, it's not a good. For some guys, it is a thing. It's needs improvement, but they don't. That doesn't look good, strengths and needs improvement. Because some things are just like, if you can't bend, if you're tight, if you're slow, that isn't needs improvement. That's a weakness.
Yeah. Well, man, if that's a shame for Caleb Chapman. He's more athletic than you would think.
What does
just
that
by
mean?
Looking at him.
What does that mean?
What?
He just seems to be more athletic.
Why? Because he's wearing an 80 number in college when all the athletic guys wear the single digits?
Because he's a white wide receiver who's not working from the slot.
Huh.
No.
That's what he
means. That's what you mean?
That's not it. I just thought.
Here, I will translate for you. He's a white receiver working outside.
Bell, yeah, I was giving him more credit. I was just assuming all the elite players were single digits or in the teens. So I just assumed that's what he meant.
Well, no, I think some Aggies have worn 80s before.
I'm talking about in current.
Oh, current
it's not
guys.
Cool
yeah,
now.
You, usually when you're a guy, a guy that they love, and when you come in, they give you a single digit number.
Jalen Waddle's not wearing a single. He's wearing a teen. He's not wearing the number in the 80s.
No, he's not wearing the 80s.
He's better than that. That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's probably what I meant.
None of those guys. Yeah. Calvin Ridley.
I was a little surprised he was able to go up and get that ball against that guy. But all right.
What?
That's all I'm saying.
He's saying white guys can't jump is what he's
saying. No, I didn't say
that. Is that
exactly what he's telling
me? Well, maybe he
vertical down the field and vertical in the Z axis. He didn't expect it.
Well, maybe he was able to outjump Marco Wilson because Marco Wilson's not very good. If you follow Florida Twitter, we mentioned Chad Wilson. They were crushing him. Like, Chad Wilson went to the game. He tweeted out, I'm at the game. Let's go, whatever. And they go, your son is trash.
That's so rude.
Your son sucks.
So rude. Well, Kellen played
I hope you're not as hard on him as you were on his brother.
I don't think they're going to like it based on what Dell's telling me.
Well, Florida fans are already trashing him. He should never play
again.
This is
what I put weaknesses. Florida fans think he's trash.
He should never play again. Get him out of there. And, oh, by the way, the fired Todd Grantham stuff was in full effect. Because that Florida defense is not representative of what they believe Florida defense should play like. That's a bad defense.
Todd Grantham, former Houston Texan defensive line coach.
He was here.
I was wondering why, I hadn't heard, but I was wondering why Adams got so much time at linebacker this week, and then now Bernard McKinney out for the season.
What do you think of Adams?
He wasn't very good, but then he was making some plays.
He led the team in tackles.
Yeah.
But that's a great example of you can plug a guy in. It doesn't cost you a, you know, you got a two down linebacker. You're paying a bunch of money. Yeah. You just plug a guy in,
dude. They just
signed, they will next year.
They just signed Emmanuel Ellerby, who was with Rice.
Right.
Yeah.
And ooh, that's never.
No.
Hey.
Wait a minute. Hey.
What's that about?
I'm sitting right here.
You're signing Rice guys?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Rice guys can play.
Yeah.
The ones
name
that
some.
Make
and they're the smart
name
kids.
Name some.
The
one. After Christian Covington, now do another
Tommy
one.
Tommy Kramer. Go.
James Casey.
James Casey's coaching Tommy Kramer.
Boswell.
He's probably dead.
No, Boswell. He's not dead.
He might be.
No.
Do you know for sure he's not dead?
Yes, I've seen him a lot of times.
When's the last time?
I've seen Tommy Kramer, dude, a lot. He likes to hang out with me and Chad.
Oh.
All right. You've seen him.
Andrew Sandejo.
Yeah.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris Boswell.
Oh, how's Chris Boswell?
You're Googling Rice football players.
No,
and actually, Jordan Taylor. I'll take the last
Jordan
one from
Taylor.
You.
Oh, what about all the tight
white
ends?
White wide
what
receiver.
What about all the tight ends?
Oh, yeah, McDonald.
Wilson with two L's or whatever, two S's.
Oh, no. Yeah, Luke Wilson.
Luke Wilson.
He's Canadian, though.
And then San Francisco has one, too.
Yeah, McDonald.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Steelers.
Steelers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Used to be San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So how do you feel about it now?
There's like more Rice players than like
Texas
players. Than Texas.
Than Cougars.
Well, then Texas.
Name Cougars.
Name. Oh, they've got a few. No, there's
start
no,
naming
got
them.
A couple.
Brandon Wilson.
Is Greg Ward still in the league?
Oliver Jackson. Brandon Wilson. Who else?
Is Greg Ward still in the league?
Yes, Greg Ward had led the team in catches the other day.
Yep.
There it is.
That's five.
Who else?
Who else?
Landon Roberts.
Yep. Yeah. So, all right, stop with your Cougar hate.
He's hating on all the local teams.
Who else?
Rice and Houston.
No, I would have never guessed that I could come up with Rice players.
It's a football factor.
It's about equal.
Oh,
actually.
Is Case Keenum any good?
Yeah. Oh,
how's
Keenum.
That?
There you go.
Right. Yeah, how about Tyus Bowser?
Yeah.
How's he?
Case Keenum transcends you. He's everyone's quarterback, though.
All
he's
right.
the every
well,
man.
He's almost played for every team now.
How's Kyle Allen, a starter for the Washington football team?
Is he, though?
How did that go on Sunday?
Is he, though?
Yeah, but he was the starter and he got hurt.
The guy with...
He was doing unbelievable things. How about Isaiah Johnson? How about Amika Igbule?
No.
DJ
no, no.
Hayden,
Josh,
just making plays all
Josh
over.
Josh Jones. Tackle.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Matthew
okay.
Adams.
Ed Oliver.
Okay.
We didn't even mention that.
U of
Ed
H
Oliver.
Is higher than Rice.
Ed Oliver.
And Oliver, he
now
did
do
say.
Texas.
He did.
Oh, he did say that.
Right.
Connor Williams. I'm not going to do Texas. We're not going to run down the list of every player. But it was surprising to me that Rice still has
okay.
like five
it,
guys
will
in the
Texas
league.
Texas have more in the league than Rice and Houston?
Yeah. Combined?
Well, I don't know.
Combined? There's some more guys in the secondary than you think. No, not combined. I don't think so. But see, a guy like Malcolm Brown is in there that you wouldn't think of. Malcolm Brown is in there.
Longhorns in the NFL. Oh yeah, there's a lot more.
Linemen.
There's a lot more
in the from the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, there's current. I mean, these guys are all current.
I mean, like drafted. I mean, I know some guys who hung around for a while.
Well, Deshaun Elliott.
Well,
he didn't have great words for Tom Herman.
Is Dante Foreman still in the league?
No, can't be.
Yes, he's with
who?
He's with Tennessee.
Practice squad?
No, Andre Diggs.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
Yeah.
He's a starter. He's a safety.
Colt McCoy is still in the league.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell? Little Jordan Humphrey. No, they got a bunch of guys. Malcolm Brown, Holton Hill.
Little Jordan's on the roster?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And
Charles
Colin
Amenahue.
Johnson caught a touchdown.
Jordan
Charles
Hicks.
Amenahue is, although it looked like Charles Amenahue, some of his reps got taken the other
Devin
day.
Devin Duvernay, Jordan Hicks, Justin Tucker.
I think they took Amenahue out more because they were going with Dunn and P.J. Hall and J.J. Watt the other day. I think they kind of tricked things out a little bit. 7:45 here on the bench. And the great. So Friday, there is a cool front coming in. It's going to knock the temperatures down to the 70s and then in the 50s at night. How good is that going to be? I'm going to spend a lot of time on my patio. I need to get out there and really clean the patio furniture because I'm going to be living out there. 6:30 in the morning, it's going to be a little crisp. I'll be watching the Merseyside Derby, watching Everton Liverpool out on my patio. It's great to go watch the pro games, the baseball games. Hopefully we got some baseball games still going for our hometown squad on a Saturday. But I just know this much. When I'm out on my patio and there's no one else around, oh, it's the best. I mean, the construction is beautiful. The design is beautiful. We had some neighbors. Rob and Sarah came over and had some drinks on the patio. That's the first time she had seen it. Rob had been over for a kind of a guy's night we did with steaks and cocktails, and she loved it. And you'll love your own patio, your outdoor living area, your outdoor kitchen. They can do a patio that is beyond anything that you imagined and really turn your house into a home and add significant value to that house. Make sure that you go to TexasCustomPatios.com, take a look at what they build, the before and afters, and they are ready to start working for you. TexasCustomPatios.com.
97.5. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We were down 0-2 in the World Series last year with Urquidy and Greinke coming up next to pitch for us. So it's not like we haven't been here before. So, you know, we gotta attack it like we did last year. You know, we were able to come back and win three games in a row. I don't think it's impossible. We've done it before. So we got to go with that mentality, knowing that we have two great pitchers coming for us. And hopefully, you know, on the offensive side of it, we can find some holes, because I feel like the at-bats have been great against a great pitching staff, one of the best pitching staffs in the league. The at-bats have been solid all around, man. We just gotta find some holes there.
It'll be interesting to see what Dusty does. I mean, he hasn't had to use much of his bullpen. It's been unbelievable how good Fromber and Lance were. But if he does get into a jam, if he doesn't trust Urquidy today, then what do you do? Because you could use Javier in Game 5 as opposed to bringing a Fromber back on 3 days rest. So, and it'll be interesting to see where they are in the series.
Yeah.
Obviously, today's a must win. Today's a must win.
Oh, no, obviously. But if you think about the next three and you go Urquidy, I mean, I don't even care who they've got 19 against two very good pitchers. Although right now Blake Snell is not pitching his best, but against two very talented pitchers, the Astros, and I'm including their bullpen, the Astros have 19 hits in two games.
Yeah.
It's not like they're not hitting. Now you've got Urquidy.
Three runs.
Yeah, three runs. But I mean, you've left a crap ton of men on base. They were struggling with control so far. Blake Snell, Morton, and also Anderson all struggled mightily with control issues and location. That's not been a problem for Lance McCullers. Had zero walks yesterday, and that was, you know, the real. You want to know if Lance McCullers is throwing well? Just go look at the ball total and the strike total and the walk total. When he's not walking guys, then that means that his location is good. When his location is good, he's as talented as any pitcher on this roster. His stuff is, and we saw it yesterday, he had explosive stuff. He just has to avoid the crazy inning where he mentally doesn't do it. Now, he picked himself up in that second inning after that three-run homer with Jose Altuve having, you know, the bad throw. Frankly, you've got to make a play on that. Even after you bobble it, you just pick it up with your foot on a base and you still have the guy out. Gurriel really screwed the pooch on that, but so did Jose Altuve. But, you know, you think about this, John. Urquidy, then Greinke, and then back to Fromber. I don't feel bad about those next three. I really don't feel bad about those next three. You got to win two of those next three, obviously. You have to. And then you're back to McCullers, and we'll see if McCullers can keep it rolling. But the only way you do it is just turning, and you probably have to hit bombs. Let's face it. Last series, this series, it's been defined by home runs. I mean, the home run has been the big hit in last series and this series.
All but one game has been won by the team that homers most. All but one game in all of the postseason, the entire postseason. So
Wait. For the Astros or everybody?
No, for everybody. Yeah.
For every team?
Every team.
Wow, all but one game.
Now, I don't know about last night, about the Dodger game. So
Dodgers!
That's going to be a series now.
It's going to be a real good series. People are sleeping on the Braves. The Braves are tough.
Screw the Braves.
Why? I want the Dodgers to lose.
How about that?
I want them to have Braves Tampa. What an amazing World Series that will be.
There will be tears
for Major League Baseball. Like, no, I obviously don't want that to happen. I want it Braves Astros. But if it's Braves Tampa,
yeah,
what a disaster for Major League Baseball.
Wow.
But the reality is it'd be good baseball.
Yeah. No,
the baseball fan would say, man, we got some really good young players and pitchers and young superstar hitters. Well, we got one on the Braves, but for the Astros, I am really happy with the way that they are hitting. Kyle Tucker twice has gone the other way and hit the ball hard. Kyle Tucker's becoming a complete hitter.
He really is.
He looks like he's now officially grown up at the plate, and if he gets out, it's not because it's mental. If he gets out, he didn't get a good swing or somebody beat him with a good pitch. He's not beating himself up with a lack of confidence. I think that's over. I think he believes he belongs there now. And the only guy that doesn't have that going right now is Yuli. I mean, Yuli is the only guy who looks like it's just a war for him to find a good pitch to hit. He is ready to swing at anything that's
well,
up there.
Well, he got two hits yesterday, so maybe he'll bounce out of it.
Hopefully. One of them was.
You know, one of those, and one, you know, that one was just a bloop, but that's the kind of stuff that gets you out of a slump.
Can.
It really does.
It can.
You know, oh my God, finally, as opposed to hitting the ball hard into outs, I'm like, I get a break, and maybe you loosen up at the plate, and hopefully that's going to be the case, because he's just a professional hitter. He's just a professional hitter. They're going to, Yarbrough, watch yourself today, because they're going to kick your ass. You watch. The Astros are gonna explode today.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. No. The Astros are gonna explode today. This is gonna be fun. This is gonna be a fun night tonight. So it's 2-1, and then you go. You know, you got Glasnow against Greinke. You know what? And your series tied at 2.
Two polar opposites as pitchers.
Yeah, one's.
One guy's got this electric stuff. One guy's just grinding now at this point of his career. One guy's this outspoken, lively guy, different. And one guy's Zach Greinke.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, no. This is a win today. No, there's no question about it. They shut him down.
Zach, can you talk
throws
about,
maybe the greatest game in postseason history today.
Zach, can you talk about what it's like for you to have this kind of big performance for the Astros? Just tried to win the game, and that's what we did. What pitches were you throwing? Like, can you talk about your command and the ability to spot three different pitches? And obviously, talk about your ability to work off of your change as your primary pitch and to throw a good second pitch. Just hit my spots, and changeup was good, so I was happy to get the win. Zach, talk about what do you give us your thoughts in detail about this Astros team and what you guys have been through? It's just been hard because of the virus, but no. So we're glad to be here and win. So that's cool. No more questions.
That's it.
That's Zach. Everybody, that's Zach's press conference after a win.
Mm-hmm. He's like, do I have to get on the plane or can I walk back?
So he's afraid to fly or claustrophobic
Yeah, I just don't think he likes to be around people. He's just going to take his own plane.
So it's a people thing?
Yeah.
More than it's a claustrophobia or a fear of flight?
I think it's a people thing, yeah.
Well, I know he's got a people thing.
Yeah.
Nobody
well,
loves
Dusty in the preseason and before everything hit. Hey, where is Greinke? You know, Greinke's Greinke. Greinke's just being Greinke.
You just kind of have to let him be.
And everybody's just like, so? Greinke will get here when Greinke gets here.
You know he's a pro.
Remember back in the day when Carlos.
You think Greinke could play for Bill O'Brien? That would be a nightmare.
No. When Carlos, the left fielder.
Carlos Lee.
When Carlos Lee showed up, he couldn't catch a plane out of Argentina or Venezuela or wherever
he's from.
He couldn't catch a plane. Boy, did Lance Berkman light him up.
Oh, really?
Light him up. And he was like, we all got to be here. Carlos, you got to be here, especially with that contract. Get your ass, get here. He wouldn't say, get your ass here. Mm-hmm. He would say, get you
rear end.
Here. Yeah.
And, backside. He might say backside.
Right. He might say something like that. You're fanny.
Fanny. Yeah. Get your fanny here.
But Greinke, everybody's like, Whenever you get here.
Well, you know, he's a different guy.
Carlos
is good with, but you just don't want to mess with Greinke. Just let Greinke do his thing and let's
move. What was it? Was it the World Series? I don't know if it was the World Series or the ALCS last year that Greinke just didn't get on, wasn't on the plane.
It was the earliest, like game 3 or game 2 when he pitched.
What and he just wasn't on the plane to
game two or three. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Three. Like, he had to go to Washington, right?
Yeah, he was. And everybody's like, "Greinke's not."
I remember you talking about
Greinke's not here. Oh well,
like he flew in separately.
Yeah, he just flew in separately because he didn't
and
want
we're
to get
worried
on the plane.
That what's happened with Greinke? No, just, oh, he's just Greinke.
He's just being Greinke. 758 ESPN 975-713-780-3776. I want to talk right now. I talked to Doc Linville the other day. I'm looking at my hair. Oh, you Twitch people, you get to see just flowing, my flowing locks. And it's really, really, me and Fred can't be happier. Now, Fred's is a little different than mine, but mine seems to be, it has come in so wonderfully. I never get the, hey, what's like, you're blinding me with that bald spot. Never anymore. Okay, I used to get that all the time. And I had a giant divot, 9-iron, out of the back of my head. And I had some mange around the front here. And Doc just filled it all in with neografting that was unbelievable. And it was such a simple process. So easy. So wonderful. I can't tell you how much better you feel about yourself when you got hair. You don't want to feel like Jackie every day. You want to feel like you're great. Like you feel great about how you look as opposed to like what Jackie thinks when he looks in the mirror. So if you're looking for hair, you want thicker hair, the chicks dig it. They dig the long hair. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Do you struggle to feel close to God in the middle of your hectic, stressful days? When your mind is racing, prayer can feel like just another task instead of a place to rest. Discover a new way to connect with God in Prayer in Motion by Jennifer Tucker. This beautiful guide helps you weave prayer into your everyday routines through simple movements, grounding practices, and connection tools. Even in the middle of your busy life, God is near, inviting you to rest in His presence. Prayer in Motion is available now wherever books are sold.